And welcome back to StadiaCast, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Lloyd. Lloyd, how you doing this morning?
I am tired and grumpy, like usual, because I'm old. No, I'm doing fantastic, dude. It's a Sunday. It's StadiaCast time. We got a bunch of awesome people hanging out with us. We got some great stuff to talk about. I'm doing pretty good, dude.
Absolutely. All right. Let's get started. Before we do, if you didn't know, we record this show on our YouTube channel over at youtube.com/NerdNest. Head on over there. Click all the YouTube buttons. It really does help us out, except for the dislike button. Don't click that one, unless you don't like it, and in which case, click away. If you are here with us live and you want to make sure that we see your message, you can use the super chat function. We do respond to other messages in chat, but if you absolutely 100% want to make sure that we see it, that's the way to do it. You can become a member by clicking on that join button down below. And Lloyd, we start every episode the same exact way with me asking you, what have you been playing, sir?
Yeah, so I'm still doing my playthrough random games on Stadia just for fun. So I played, I've played and finished a game called Chicken Police, Paint It Red. I immediately wanted to play this game when I saw the screenshots for it. If you're not familiar with the trailer, it's kind of black and white, and it's got people, but they have like animal faces. So they got like grafted on animal heads in this weirdly bizarre world. I picked it up and wanted to play through it. And the game itself is a point-and-click adventure puzzle-solving or case-solving game. So it's kind of like, Ace Attorney crossed with like an old point-and-click adventure game, but with really, really cool kind of like old-school, like 19... I don't even know the age, but kind of like the gumshoe kind of a detective lingo that's going on, and it's fully voice acted. So there's some really good voice actors that are playing through the parts. And so I've been playing through that and played a bunch of it, and then realized that if I wanted to get all the trophies, you have to do things at a very specific time and a very specific way to get all the stuff. So I got 75% through the game poorly, and then I was like, you know what, I gotta start again and do it the proper way. So then I followed a bit of a guide to pick up all the things up until the end, and then I screwed up again because I didn't follow the guide in the end, so I had to play through the game again to do it. But it just goes to show how good this game is that I don't mind playing through it. The good thing is on my second and third playthroughs, I just skipped all of the dialogue because I'd already heard it. But what a really fun and interesting game. There's a lot of these sort of games on Stadia, a lot of these kind of indies coming out recently that are sort of trying to bring back the whole point and click adventure thing. We have like the Dark Side Detective already on Stadia. We're getting a pro title next month that is kind of like that. So it's kind of like this resurgence of old school point and click adventure games. So, had a lot of fun playing, Chicken Police, Paint It Red.
That's awesome. I've been playing Destiny 2, The Witch Queen. Man, every time I play that game, I realize how pretty it is. Like, it is a gorgeous game. It's so beautiful. And it just blows me away. And the gameplay absolutely holds up. I will say, like they do with every expansion, excuse me, they kind of boost your character's power level to, like, 13, I'm just making up numbers because I can't remember, but like 1350, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you play, the first mission of the new stuff is like recommended to be 1360. So I was really struggling in that mission. Like, I was getting smacked around pretty hard as I was playing. And I did a live stream. I was playing it on GeForce Now, but it's the same game that's on Stadia. Right. And people in chat were like, oh, this is a tough mission to be playing at your level at 1350. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's irritating. And I finished the fight, but it was intense. It's a really good game, and the gunplay holds up really well. And it just goes to show you how good Bungie is at making these games as a service style games that they keep giving me a reason to come back. But I've definitely been enjoying it.
Yeah, it looks really, really good. And yeah, that's kind of weird the way Bungie does that. I remember with the last expansion that came out, I started that up. I picked it up again and I played through like the whole first set of missions, and I was getting just my butt handed to me. And then I did some reading online, and it's like, yeah, ultimately you want to play these at a higher power level. It's like, well, then why start me on those missions at this power level? It's like a really weird onboarding thing. I guess they're thinking most people will jump in and do some other stuff first to build up their power level before they go into the main story. It's kind of a weird thing for them to do.
You've also been playing Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I wanted to play through some Assassin's Creed games. I was taking a break from Valhalla, and I realized that I had never finished Assassin's Creed Syndicate. I remember playing through the first part of this game on PlayStation 4, I think it was, but I never finished it because I was looking through some of the stuff on my PlayStation, like my trophy list on PlayStation. I'm like, oh my god, I never beat this game. And because I've played and completed, I think, almost every Assassin's Creed game, but apparently this one wasn't one of them. So it was on sale on Stadia, so I picked it up for, I don't know, like $16 or some crazy cheap price. And I've been playing through it, and it's kind of set in like the late 1800s. So there's no vehicles, but there's horse-drawn carriages that look like they would be vehicles. You could just drop an engine on them, and they would have gas-powered horsepower instead of horse-powered horsepower. And it's just like really cool going through kind of like old-school London, like Jack the Ripper times, and shooting people. And there's a really cool grapple gun that you get super early on, so you kind of feel like you're Batman going around kind of like 1860s or 1880s London or whatever. Such a fun game, and really enjoying it. I just, Assassin's Creed is such a fantastic franchise, and I really wish that I could just play through all the games again, because I really enjoyed all of them. But man, some of them, like just to beat the story, some of them you're playing 40 hours. And others, you're playing 10 hours or 15 hours to beat the main story. Like, they're all over the place. Like, Valhalla, I played, like, 80 hours, and I wasn't even done the main campaign because of all the stuff that you have to do around it. So, I really wish that I could that I could play them all again or just experience the story again. But, man, those games take a long time to get through.
I want to love the Assassin's Creed games. The only one that I've played is the Valhalla one, and what I played was really fun, but like you said, like it's daunting, it's intimidating, the number of hours that you have to invest in order to really, not just complete it, because completing it is a ridiculous ask, but just finishing the story, it's just too much. And because of that, I always say, well, maybe some other day. And so I never jump in and play those Assassin's Creed games, even though I know that they're really, really good. And so, well, some of them are really good. Some of them I've heard not great things about. But overall, as a, like, if you average out the franchise, I think that they would tend to be on the good side of the meter rather than the bad side of the meter. But
yeah, there's very few that were disappointing to play through when they came out. Like, they're always great, good games, with some of them are great, which is hard to say for a lot of franchises out there. A lot of times there's hits and misses for sure. When you have like a dozen games in a franchise, there's some that are not good. I don't feel that way about any of the Assassin's Creed games, except for maybe the more kind of mobile games that came out that were then kind of like ported over from Vita or whatever. Those games aren't as great. They feel more mobile-y to me than like a full-fledged Assassin's Creed game, even though they are. Renaissance, I think. Assassin's Creed Renaissance? No, that's not it. Anyway, it doesn't matter what it is. It's the one with Aveline is the main character. That didn't feel like a full Assassin's Creed story to me, but the other ones have all been pretty darn awesome.
That's very good. All right, let's jump into the news. On the news today, we've got This Week in Stadia that we're going to talk about, along with a bunch of new pro games. We've got the Google Games Summit. We've got House of the Dead Remake, and going to save this for the end. I want to talk about playing Stadia on the Steam Deck, so stick around for that. Let's start with This Week in Stadia. Let me bring this up on the screen for everybody. And first off, we've got 5 more pro games. That's another really good month. Now, not all of these appeal to me, but there's 3 of them in here that are definitely, in my opinion, something that I would look forward to if I didn't already have a couple of them, and 2 of them that I just passed for me. What, first off, let's talk about, let's just go in order. Road Trip with what's with Race with Ryan. Yeah. Not for me, clearly.
Sure.
You always tend to like give these kind of games more of a fair shake than I will. So I'll let you talk about that one.
I mean, I'll play it. I it's funny. I asked for after playing the Fast and Furious game. I said all I want on Stadia is a kart racer that I could play, sit on the couch and play with the family. And then this was announced, and I'm like, oh my god, did I touch a monkey paw or something? Like I got my wish, but I didn't really get my wish. So
it's
yeah,
like not you got a vindictive genie, and you didn't phrase your wish exactly the right way.
Exactly what it was, but anyway, yeah, Race with Ryan looks interesting. It's a game that is using the IP of like a 10-year-old that opens toys on YouTube and makes millions of dollars a year. So clearly, ew, not the game for me. It's that's who this Ryan guy is. He's a YouTuber that opens toys and stuff like that. Apparently, that's what I heard from reading articles about this game. So clearly, I do not fall in this demographic. But yeah, I'll play it. I'll check it out. I'll see if it's a game that we can sit on the couch and have some kart battles with my family.
All right, let's move on. I have nothing to say about this game. The idea of a... I did not know that about the IP. And that makes it even less interesting to me. I thought it was some TV show or something. Let's move on to Adam Wolf. Adam Wolf seems, I'm not going to say interesting. It's definitely not something that I'm interested in, but I think it's the kind of game that a lot of other people would be interested in. Can you talk about that one?
Yeah, it's a point and click adventure game, sort of. You're solving mysteries. You're a detective. It very much feels similar to what I had just talked about with Chicken Police. It seems like a similar kind of game, but this one feels more point and clicky, where you're actually like dragging stuff together to try to combine them, like old school, like Police Quest and Space Quest type things. Yeah, it looks neat. It also looks like this game has some like hidden objects parts to it as well. So it's not just like, it's not just point and click adventure. It's like those hidden objects things where you're looking for 18 objects in this little scene and you have to find them all. So it has a bunch of varied gameplay. Looks interesting to me. I'll play through it. I love giving games like this a chance. It allows the narrative to really kind of shine and allows a good story to kind of shine through. Hopefully this is what this game has, is a good story that can shine through.
Yeah, I was just looking at the footage. I had the footage playing I had the footage playing while Lloyd was talking, and I was looking at it and I was like, boy, this really looks like a mobile game. And so I grabbed my phone and looked it up, and absolutely, this is a port of a mobile game. So you can play it now. It's a pro game, so you're not going to have to pay for it on Stadia. So I mean, there's that, but you could just play it on your phone if you wanted to. But, you know, again, point and click adventures for me, every time I always look at a point and click adventure and I think, this is the one. This is the one that I'm going to love. And then I play it and I get stuck, or I don't think of something, or something is like the solution to the puzzle is not quite exactly what I had envisioned as the solution to the puzzle, and I get frustrated. And so then I stopped playing. So I'm completely uninterested in Adam Wolf, but I do like the art style, at least.
Yeah, that's cool. Not every game type is for everybody. And yeah. I love these kind of throwbacks to this older way of playing games. But the one thing you need with these games is a really good story. So hopefully the story is there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's move on to the one that I think is probably the standout, the one that is absolutely amazing, and that is Darksiders Genesis. If you did not play Darksiders Genesis, you missed out on a really, really fantastic game. I bought it when Stadia first launched, and I finished it. And then I'm not going to get into the specifics, but I had an issue where I have two Stadia accounts, and I had purchased it on the first Stadia account, but then when family sharing happened, I was like, oh, well, I want to be on this account. So I almost, probably 3 or 4 times, I almost bought the game again because it's that good and I wanted to have it on that Stadia account. So now I'm glad that I waited and I don't have to, because it's just such a good game. Now, when it first came out, and I looked, I thought that this game was going to play like Diablo, but it doesn't play like Diablo. You want to explain what exactly what this game is like, Lloyd?
Yeah, so it's kind of a top-down isometric version of the other Darksiders games. So the other Darksiders games are very much kind of like 3D Zelda sort of games where you're going from area to area, getting new powers. Those powers allow you to go in other parts of areas that you've maybe been through but couldn't access. Darksiders Genesis is very much that type of game, but it looks like it is an action RPG. I mean, it is an action RPG, but it's just not a Diablo-specific action RPG. You're basically walking through and killing people by getting right up in their face. There's some characters that have guns, but you can also punch people and all that other stuff. So a very fun game. It I believe when it came out, we played through a bunch of this co-op together, Bill, because that is one of the functions of this game as well. You can play co-op. It's just a really fun RPG with puzzle elements and just amazing battles. It was weird to see such a different take on the Darksiders formula, because having played all the other Darksiders games, this came as a complete outlier to what the other games are. But it was so much fun. Like I completed it almost in like one playthrough. It felt like I beat it so fast because I just wanted to see how the story ended. This is going to be a really fantastic title for everybody. And funny story, if you join Pro today, you get all of the Darksiders games.
You can claim
Darksiders 2, Darksiders 3, and then Darksiders Genesis, because they're all still part of Pro. The games that exist on Stadia are all part of Pro right now, or they will be March 1st.
And there's a link in the description down below that I think will get you, if you're not already a member of Stadia Pro, that if you click on that link, it might take you to a free month or maybe two free months. I can't remember exactly. It's just an old link, and I'm sure I'm not positive it still works, but you can check it out if you haven't. As somebody who's played all of the Darksiders games, do you prefer the top-down version, or do you prefer the more traditional version of Darksiders?
I think they're both good for different reasons. I like the story in this one because it's kind of a prequel. I mean, it's not kind of, it is a prequel to kind of what happens in Darksiders 1, 2, and 3. So this gives you a good, a good background to kind of the story that is going on. Not that the story is super complex. I mean, you're defeating evil, but you were evil, and now you're coming back and trying to defeat everybody else that is, I guess, more eviler than you are. But it's good. I think my favorite game was Darksiders 2, if I remember the story. And then Darksiders Genesis would be like really close up there for some of my favorite gameplay with Darksiders.
There you go. I need to try out the other ones. Let's move on to Darkwood. I played this game. Boy, this is a weird game. It's a top-down survival horror game. You can only see where your character would be able to see. So, like, if you're looking at the character, like if the camera was up there over my head and looking down on me, there'd be like a cone coming out from my head, and that's the location that I can see where things are. And so as you move around and, you know, you're going in your different directions, you can't see what's happening behind you. And it's got a really dark and creepy aesthetic to it. I did not play it for too long because it kind of creeped me out and I didn't like the way it was going, and they made me kill a dog, and I like all of those things added together meant I think I'm going to move on from this one. But I think that there's a lot of people out there that this kind of game absolutely appeals to, and it's coming to Pro. Have you played Darkwood?
No, it was one of those games that I wanted to check out. It's black and white. It looks like it's drawn with like pencil on paper. Like it has this really cool kind of indie art book kind of look to it. And it reminds me a lot of Hotline Miami, except without the neon and guns as much as Hotline Miami would have. So, yeah, this one looks interesting. I'll definitely check it out. We've talked about it on the show. I'm not a huge, huge fan of spooky games. I just prefer to play games that aren't as like I don't know, sad and depressing for the most part. And having the anxiety of getting killed at every like around every corner just doesn't normally do it for me. But I do get in the mood every once in a while and play through them. And yeah, this one definitely looks like a game that would be fun to check out.
Yeah, boy, I'm watching the footage right now again, and I forgot how awful and creepy this thing is. It's super creepy. They nailed it with the art style. Like, they found a thing that they were going for, and they absolutely, they nailed it. It's all kinds of upsetting to look at. All right, the one that surprised me the most on this was Dawn of Monsters, because I saw Dawn of Monsters, and I said, oh, it's going to be one of those same things or the other three. But no, Dawn of Monsters looks fantastic. You want to tell people about that?
Well, you're saving the best for last, Bill. Dawn of Monsters is a new game. It's launching March 1st right into Pro. It is a kaiju battle game. So big monsters like Godzilla running around fighting with each other in sort of a side-scrolling beat-em-up looking game. It reminds me so much of an old arcade game by SNK on the Neo Geo called King of the Monsters, except obviously with way better art style. A lot of like manga artists are working on it, people that have drawn this type of stuff for either cartoons or actual like printed manga, and it's by Way Forward. It looks so phenomenal, and to have this one launch day one right into Pro, I am so very, very excited for this one.
Absolutely. This game looks really great. It totally surprised me when I saw it. I was watching. There was another video, and I wish that I had grabbed that one. They went through and they showed like all of the different combos. So it was like, hey, light attacks do this, heavy attacks do this. You can have heavy hold attacks. Like, you have all these different combos that you can do. At first, I was like, oh, is it a fighting game? Because that was the first video that I saw. And I thought it was a fighting game. But no, it's a side-scrolling brawler, essentially. Think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time, like that kind of thing.
Yep.
Or what's the one about with the movie Scott Pilgrim versus the World? Like those kind of games. Although this one, I don't know if there's like a Z-axis. Like, I think you're just on a 2D plane, right? You can't move up. Oh, no. You can definitely move up and down.
Yeah, and it looks like there is like an upgrade system and stuff in it as well. Like there isn't a lot of info. Like, I went to WayForward's website, and this game isn't really fully listed on their site yet. So all the info about this game that I think most people would want just doesn't seem to be out there yet, because it didn't have a release date. So now we have a release date. It's coming March 1st. I guess all that info is going to start coming out. But yeah, it looks like if you had a side-scrolling beat-em-up and then added some RPG stuff into it, which is very much what Scott Pilgrim is like, where you're leveling up and doing things like that. So yeah, I'm very excited. They're very focused on the individual monsters, and they all have their own pluses and minuses and bonuses and strengths and weaknesses and all that stuff, which is kind of interesting. Different than kind of like most beat-em-ups, where the characters that you choose all have different skills, but they kind of are all the same. Like, they're very balanced. I don't know how balanced this one's going to be. There might be like the really slow, super powerful guy, which is going to have a hard time with certain bosses, or it could be like the super quick but doesn't do much damage guy would be good for those types of fights. I'm really looking forward to digging into this one, because I've been excited from when I first saw some of the first key art that came out about this game.
Yeah. Let's talk about free weekends. Right now, there's a free weekend for Assassin's Creed. What the heck? Okay. Assassin's Creed. Sorry, I got distracted by a shiny thing. Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Lloyd, how many hours did you say you put into Assassin's Creed Valhalla?
Many. Over 100. 120, something like that.
Well, all right. Well, you're not going to get all that. Like, if you haven't already started this free weekend, then you're pretty much screwed. But you can play it until tomorrow. And it's definitely a good, like, you can get in there and see if it's your kind of game or not, which is always a good thing. I wish Stadia did these things like way more often. Like, they should do every single
week almost. Huh? Almost. It seems like almost every week, probably twice, 2 to 3 times a month, we seem to be having a demo recently. So this is getting good for not a demo, a free play week. weekend. So they're doing really good things, which is good to see.
And yeah, I do agree with that. It's just that they tend to only do them on weekends. And so, like, if you're somebody who is busy on the weekend, then you miss out on that. And I wish that instead of doing a free weekend, they would say the demo mode where they're like, hey, here's what we're going to do. You can play the game for 4 hours or something like that. I think that, yes, technically that would be less time with the game, but it would give everybody the chance to actually play the game. That's the thing, is that there's so many people out there that, like, if this happens when they're busy, they're going to miss out on it. And that's too bad.
Yeah, that is really kind of sad. It would be nice if they started, say, on a Thursday and went to a Sunday or whatever. Just give people a little bit more time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's good. Valhalla, such a fantastic game. I really wish... My only complaint about Valhalla is it would be nice if you could beat the main campaign in, say, like 20 hours and then still have that 100 hours of content for people that want to complete it all. It's a game that you have to slog through to beat the main story. So if you're not someone that wants to play 60 to 80 hours to beat a game, it's going to be a tough one to get through.
Have you played Phoenix Point?
I have not, but before we move off of Valhalla, one other thing to note, the Dawn of Ragnarok season 2 DLC thing is coming out. This is a full DLC. It's like a 20 plus hour story that's going to be added to Assassin's Creed Valhalla. It's a $40 DLC up here in Canada, or $50 DLC up here in Canada. That's on sale currently on Stadia for $30. So if you expect to pick up the Ragnarok add-on, which is, as I said, a huge separate game that is being grafted right onto Assassin's Creed Valhalla, you might want to pick it up now, because you're going to save, up here in Canada, you're saving $20. I think in the States, you're only saving $10, because I think it's $40 DLC that's on sale for $30 down there as well. So go check that out and make sure to pick it up on sale, because that sale ends right before the DLC comes out. So I think the sale is only running for a couple more days.
All right. Thanks for the heads up there. I didn't even realize that part. What's that?
I think you're muted.
Oh, that's right. I was coughing. Sorry about that. Yeah, no, thanks for the heads up there, because I didn't even realize that. All right. Moving on to Phoenix Point. Did you play Phoenix Point?
No, I have not played it. I bought it. It was recently on sale for a good price. So I picked it up. And then, yeah, they dropped some news about Phoenix Point in This Week in Stadia.
Yeah, we're going to get new DLC. I haven't played it. It's definitely a game that's on my list of something that I want to try out, because it's an XCOM-style game, and I always really enjoy those XCOM-style games, because you can slow down and take a minute and think about what you're going to do, and you don't have to do everything super quickly. So this is definitely something that's on my radar, but there's so many games to play that I haven't tried it. But now it's getting DLC on top of what is already there, and... from what I've heard, it's a really, really good game. I believe it's even made by the same people that made XCOM. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I think it had some of the original team that worked on the original XCOM created a new company, and this is one of the titles they worked on.
Oh, okay. So different company, same people. Okay, there you go.
I believe so. I could be completely wrong with that, but I think that's what happened here.
All right, and then we've got a little tiny teaser for Sky Climbers. Yeah. That I think that, you know, there's a lot of people have been very, very hyped for Sky Climbers, and they posted this teaser on the This Week in Stadia blog, and they're talking about it's multiplayer city building RPG. It's like kitchen sink kind of thing, where they've got a million different things added into this game. Definitely interesting, but there's no real information there. But it's, you know, it's definitely a game that a lot of people are hyped for.
Yeah, whenever they show more of this game, I want to play it. I really want this game to be good. I'm very nervous about what it's going to turn into. I backed it on Kickstarter because I wanted this game to come to Stadia, and it is still going to be coming to Stadia. So we'll learn more as it comes out sometime this year, with the alpha and betas starting sometime over the next few months. Yeah, hopefully it's good. It's kind of like Pokemon with Fortnite building, which kind of makes me happy. We'll see what happens when it officially comes out, though.
All right. Let's move on to Google for Games is hosting. What? Did I miss something?
No, Justin in the chat room says Donna Ragnarok is only $23.99 for pro members in the US. So it's not $30, it's $23.99. I just can't see the US price when I'm on my store because it's Canadian pricing. So
Okay.
if you want to save a bunch of money, picking it up now for whatever it is, like 33% off or whatever that sale is, if you're going to get it anyway, you might as well pick it up before it launches.
Thanks, Justin. We appreciate that. All right, moving on to games. Google for Games hosting Developer Summit in March. They're going to be talking about Play games for PC. So that's basically Android games being able to be played on PC. They're going to be talking about Stadia and cloud stuff. They say check out new solutions for game devs that make it easier to build high quality games and reach growing audiences around the world. Hear from leaders across Android, Google Play, Ads, Cloud, and Stadia teams. Are you hyped for this? Do you think we're going to get big news from this for Stadia?
I don't think there's going to be big news, but I'm hyped for this because when we talked about, when SG&E shut down like a year ago, everyone's like, oh, Google's dead or Stadia's dead. This is nothing's ever happening. And I always take a wait and see approach. Sure. Mm-hmm. It could be dead, but let's not say it's dead until it's actually dead. Let's see what Google does. And then they had this Google with Games conference and they talked about Stadia and then they had stuff with Google I/O or whatever. So they clearly were always still going to be doing stuff on it because they planned to have some developer talks. And then when that whole Business Insider article came out, I said, let's wait and see if we don't get another Game Summit or more Google I/O stuff. Sure. But on the other hand, if we do, then obviously it's just business as usual. So when this was announced, I smiled. Because that means that Google is still doing some stuff with Stadia, which we assumed they would be. But I mean, you hear the same wrong story enough. Sometimes you start to believe it a little bit.
Yeah.
this conference that they're planning is great. One of the talks is called How to Write a Windows Emulator for Linux from Scratch, which is a detailed overview of the technology behind Google's solution for running unmodified Windows games on Stadia. This is a deep technical walkthrough of some of the core concepts with the goal to allow curious programmers to better understand such technologies and potentially build their own. So this immediately jumped out at me as super surprising because when Google white labeling was coming out and they struck up that deal with Comcast to have the Batman game, everyone's like, oh my God, this means it's coming to Stadia. And one of the first things we talked about here is just like, let's wait a second. I hope it comes to Stadia, but this is such an old game. I'd be highly surprised if they reopened the code base and made a new version of this game to run on the Google platform. To me, what was more likely was they were running a Windows wrapper around this game that was then streaming through Google Stadia. And obviously, we didn't know if this was a thing, but this game didn't have any ties into the Google APIs. You couldn't bring up the Stadia menu. You couldn't do in-game invites. Like all the normal Stadia stuff wasn't part of this. Well, it looks like maybe that is indeed what happened here as one of a kind of test case to get these games running as a white label service or whatever. So very, very interesting to me. I don't know if this means that these types of games will be coming to Stadia proper. In fact, I highly doubt it. But if Google's allowing people to do this on white labeling, that's a good thing because it will bring more potential publishers and developers to the platform. Obviously, they're not making new stuff for Google Stadia, but they're going to have development access. And then who knows, when they're working on a new game, they might say, hey, let's see how this works. And they might kind of switch it over, port it over, see how it runs. And then that might turn into more games down the road. So very interesting idea for one of these sessions at this conference.
Yeah, I can already hear people saying, why aren't they just using muted again? Sorry. It's like it's my first time doing a podcast. I can already hear people saying, is this just Proton? And they said, no, it's from Scratch. So it's not going to be Proton. But the more people that are working on making it so that you can, that devs can get their games into the hands of people who are playing games not on Windows, I think is better for everybody in the long run. That's just my opinion. People can tell me how wrong I am and that I should just use Windows, and that's fine. I can't stand Windows. It drives me crazy. I use it out of necessity, really. That's really how I use it. Not that I'm a huge fan of Linux either. Like, it's not like I use Linux because or actually I don't use Linux. My preferred operating system is Mac OS. Like that's the one that I use, and everybody can do their snarky comments. That's the one that works best for me. Mm-hmm. Every time that I sit down and use Windows, it works. It's fine, but like it just doesn't look as nice. It doesn't do it things the way that I expect it to. I know how to use it. It's fine. It's just not as it's not what I would want to use. And I would like it if Windows was not the de facto end all be all when it comes to video games, because I have to have a Windows PC in order to play video games or, you know, play on the Steam Deck. All right, let's move on to, I don't remember what, that's the show notes, House of the Dead. That's right. Oh man. This kind of came out of nowhere. I did not expect this. This House of the Dead has been leaked by the ESRB as coming to Stadia. Usually these kind of leaks are fairly, what's the word I'm looking for? Accurate? That's not the word I'm looking for, but generally it's not going to get on here unless it's a real deal. Are you going to play House of the Dead again?
Oh, 100%. This remake has been rumored for years. It's come to light multiple times on different systems. I think it was originally supposed to come out on like the PS3 or early on in the PS4. It was talked that this was happening, and then that went quiet for a while. And then I think a couple of years ago, it was rumored that it was coming to the Nintendo Switch, and then it went quiet for a bit. So I'm not gonna hold my breath for this one actually coming out. But I mean, it wouldn't be rated on the ESRB unless it was happening. So I'm pretty sure that this is gonna be coming out in the near future. I love these old school old school shoot 'em ups where you actually had a gun and you're shooting at the screen and you'd have to hit a paddle or a pedal on the bottom to pop up and down if you're playing some of them. Other ones you had to
Time Crisis. Was that it?
Time Crisis had the one with the little pedal or whatever. There was a bunch of other ones. There was ones that had like joysticks and guns. Like there was all sorts of crazy arcade cabinets for these shooters. And House of the Dead was always one of my favorites. And it had some really good home versions as well over the years with using like the gun con on like PS2 or whatever, or PS1, or maybe it was PS. No, I think it was PS2 with the gun con and all that. So many fun memories. But modern TVs make it really hard to play with light gun games because they don't work the same way. They don't have the raster line that they can use for timing to figure out what you're actually shooting at. So it'll be interesting to see how this one is gonna work. Is it only gonna work with mouse and keyboard, or can it work with a controller? Are you gonna be good at playing this game with a controller? All these questions I have. Doesn't really matter. I'm gonna play it regardless because I love this franchise.
I am not gonna play it because it doesn't have a gun. Like I need you gotta have a gun to really can you imagine playing Area 51 without a gun? Like
Those are quarter gobblers. They're meant to kill you fast to take more quarters from you. If this is the remake is done the right way, it won't be that. Like it won't just be the arcade game ported over.
Yeah.
It'll probably be that though. It'll probably be exactly that, and it will be just as annoying moving your mouse cursor around with your joystick or whatever. But man, I want to see this. I want to see Typing of the Dead. I want to see all these old school kind of like House of the Dead games come back and have new life on modern consoles because they were just so much fun back in the day.
You know what I would really like is if light guns, I know that they don't work the same way because of modern TVs, but I would really like to see light guns come back. And I don't know, can you, like, you can make a light gun that works on a modern TV, right?
Yeah, they have some that are available for like if you're making a MAME cabinet or something that will work with your LCD panels. They work in a completely different way. They use, I believe they intercept the HDMI signal coming out and they analyze things. I think that's how it works. Don't quote me on that because I've only looked into it briefly back in the day when I was thinking of making a new arcade cabinet for my house. So they do work. But yeah, not as easy as the old raster ones that actually timed where you shot and looked to see the color or they looked to see where the raster line was when you hit the button and then trying to figure out with the flashing on the screen. There's like all this crazy stuff, but it worked because all TVs drew at the exact same refresh rate. That doesn't happen anymore. There's too many different refresh rates. There's too many different techs. And plus, on an LCD panel, they're not actually drawing anything on the screen. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens with this game.
But that's what I want. I want every console to have a light gun that you can go to the store and buy and you bring home, and like you said, it intercepts the HDMI or something. So sure, I got to plug it in and it's got a wire or whatever, and then make these games. This is a dead genre. No pun intended, because House of the Dead, but this is a dead genre that does not get new stuff made anymore. I'm sure somebody in chat or in the comments is going to be like, well, actually, Bill, this game just came out last week and you didn't know about it. And you're right. And thank you for sharing. But I wish that they were more commonplace, because they are super fun games. I threw so much money in the garbage playing Area 51 and Time Crisis and Operation Wolf and all of those games in the arcade. And I remember having, I think it was Area 51. No, it wasn't Area 51. It was something before that on, it was Operation Wolf. We had Operation Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was on the Sega Genesis at my house. And it was amazing and so much fun. And my brothers and I just loved that game. It's a dead genre, unfortunately.
The best light gun experiences I had was when one of my arcades would go into kind of free play mode. They would sell, give us X number of hours, and you can come for the final 3 hours or 2 hours of the night on certain days. And they would put every game onto free play mode. You would just pay basically a cover fee to come in and play those games. So I would go to like Operation Wolf and the T2 games, anything that had two guns, and I would play two player with just one. And I'd live out like all of my Rambo and dreams just by having two Uzis in my hand or whatever, or two handguns and things like that. So much fun playing those games. It was you don't get experiences like that anymore with video games, unfortunately.
That's true. All right, let's move on to the Steam Deck. I have a Steam Deck sitting here. It works really, really well. And I've been playing a bunch of different games on it, trying to figure out. Oh, you can see that I've been playing Sonic on there. And I played GeForce Now, and I played Stadia on it. And I have to say, my initial impressions were that it did not work. That's what I thought. I thought, okay, this is not working. Because of this issue. So first off, let me talk about this email that I got from Lawrence Yang about the cloud gaming on the Steam Deck. And I wish I had left that on my screen while I was loading this. Here's the thing that he said about cloud gaming. He said, "We have a few questions about cloud gaming through a browser. As of this moment, there's a controller issue, but there's a fix in the pipe, and we expect that it will ship soon. Once that is out, you'll be able to play streamed games through Chrome." I'm not going to read the rest of it because it's essentially doing a little more explanation on what I just said. And so I loaded up the Chrome browser in Steam. It was like three clicks or whatever, super easy to do. And then I loaded up GeForce Now, and I played it, and it worked. But I was getting some weird input issues. So essentially, Chrome can't accept controller inputs on SteamOS yet. There's some kind of issue. Valve is working with Google to get that fixed. And I was like, okay, well, I want to know for sure if that's the issue. So I tried GeForce Now. I tried Stadia. Both were super choppy feeling. And I was like, oh, this is not good. And I thought, maybe it's on Wi-Fi. Maybe I'm not getting the information to the Steam Deck fast enough because it's on Wi-Fi. And I was having slow downloads on it as well. And so I thought that was probably the issue. That's not the issue. So what I ended up doing in order to test this is I did the whole thing, tested again. But this time I used a Stadia controller, because the Stadia controller completely bypasses the Chrome nonsense and connect your controller directly to their servers. And I played Destiny 2, and it was flawless. Absolutely flawless. It was perfect. And once they get the controllers working the correct way with cloud gaming on this device, this is going to be an incredible device for cloud gaming, because it's portable, it's got built-in controls, it's slim, it's light, and it's just going to be fantastic. And because it's a 1280 by 800 screen, you don't have to have the best connection because it's not trying to send you a 4K signal. And because you're playing on a small screen, that low resolution means that it's going to look just fine. So I have to say Stadia on this is very, very good. And they just got to get the controls to work with Chrome better. And they said that they're working on that. So thumbs up.
Yep, exactly. Sorry, I was just typing a message, so I wasn't trying to ignore you there, Bill. Yeah, it looked interesting. We did a live Q&A yesterday, and it looked interesting what it was running. I know the Steam Deck is going to be my one of the main things I'm going to do on it is play stream stuff. I want to play Stadia. I want to play GeForce Now. I want to play xCloud. I want to play local games. I want to play emulators. But a lot of it is going to be for stream stuff, just because it seems like a perfect device for it. 800p, built-in controls. You'll probably get really decent battery life if you're just streaming to the device. It seems like the perfect use case for this piece of hardware.
Yeah, and the fact that, like, once the controls are fixed, it's going to be, like, because when I was doing it with the built-in controls, it was kind of a nightmare. Like, everything was choppy and sluggish, but as soon as I switched over to the Stadia controller, it was just rock solid and perfect. So, the Stadia and GeForce Now and probably xCloud I haven't tested yet, and Luna and whatever else you can play in the browser, I think is going to work just fine as soon as we have that new build of Chrome that will accept your controller inputs. And I think that that's going to be fantastic.
Sorry, excuse me. Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully that comes. And it's really interesting that they're so specific with that. So basically what the issue is the version of Chrome that ships right now doesn't have built-in support for controllers. And we ran into that on Windows and iOS and Android tablets when streaming first came out, where linking a controller to a web browser just didn't exist. So we saw first, I think it was Android tablets, people were able to get that running through custom versions of Chrome, and then it was baked into the release version of Chrome, and then that came to PCs, and then now we have to wait for the version to come to Steam Deck. So again, that is the one of the true powers of this device, is that it is fully open. So even if Valve doesn't approve this version of whatever that comes from Valve, that's fine. You can just install the Linux version of Chrome, which is eventually will be updated to have this controller plugin and stuff in it. So yeah, what a fantastic device. I'm jealous that I can't hold it in my hands, but Bill's been putting up some great content, and he has some great plans for the future as well, as Steam Decks start making their way out to other people in the world.
All right, well, that's it for today's episode of StadiaCast. Let us know in the comments section down below what games you've been playing on Stadia and which of the new 5 Pro games that you are most hyped for. I will say this, are we at like 56 Pro games right now if you subscribe today?
If you subscribe today?
Yeah, I think it's like 56 that it would be available like right then.
Yeah, I think it's like 51 right now, and then March 1st ticks over, you'll get those 5. 3 will leave, I think. There's 3 games that are leaving, but if you claim it today, the law would be part of your pro library, so they won't disappear.
Yeah, the Stadia Pro is such a good deal. For $10 a month, you get so many games. Yeah. And some of them are going to be games that you don't care about. But I think that they do a great job every month of saying, here's a game for you, and here's a game for you, and here's a game for you. And if you are somebody who likes a lot of different types of games, then maybe every month you're going to get 2 or 3 that you really like. For me, there's 3 games this month that I think are really compelling and 2 that I think are stinkers. But that's just me, and I'm sure that other people are going to have other opinions on that, and let us know those opinions in the comments section.
100%. Yeah, it's there really is something for everyone these last few months on Stadia Pro. So Dawn of the Monsters, Darksiders, whatever that road trip game, driving game, RPG, a new fighter. And then there's a point and click and a more psychological horror kind of game. It really has been like that for the last few months. Google's been putting some good packages together for these pro titles every month, and hopefully they keep it up.
Yeah, and I think that really has something to do with the fact that they made that change to how much money the publishers get from Stadia Pro. And I think that's probably pushing a lot of publishers to be interested in bringing their games to Stadia, not just as a platform, but Stadia Pro as well, because it's, what's the word? Lucrative, I guess, is probably what I would say.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
All right, everybody. That's it for this episode of StadiaCast. Lloyd, tell everybody goodbye.
All right, everybody. Take it easy. We'll talk to you here next week for StadiaCast. Have a good week, everybody.